Well, this week is Parshas Yisro, and the big thing this week is the giving of the Torah. So, one of the things we find here in the third month of the Yidden coming out of Mitzrayim, they came to Midbar Sinai. They went from Rephidim, they came to Midbar Sinai, and they camped in the wilderness, and the Torah tells us, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, and it uses the singular, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Many times we've talked about what the inyan is of Vayichan, that everybody has thousands, hundreds of thousands of needs. And the reason that the Torah couldn't be given to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov is because you are not free to learn Torah until you're free. And you can't be free so long as you have all these needs to be taken care of. So it was only when we were 600,000 Yidden and everybody has the koyach to take care of everybody, because you know, if you got up in the morning and you knew that every need that you could possibly have is taken care of, that somebody will make you a cup of tea, and somebody will bring you a pair of socks, and somebody will smile at you, somebody will give you a hug, and somebody will give you a lift to work, and so forth. If you knew that everything was taken care of, then you would then be free to take care of everybody. And you have 600,000 talents that you have. For this one, you have a handshake. For this one, you have a quarter. For this one, you have a smile. You wouldn't be in this place where you have to take care of your own needs if you really knew on the deepest level that all your own needs are taken care of. So when the Yidden arrive at Midbar Sinai, Vayichan Sham, Ke'ish, then that was the moment when we were ready to be given the Torah, because we were really free. So the Torah tells us, Moshe olo elhu elekim. Moshe goes up to God. Vayikra elav Hashem min hohar, and God calls to him from the mountain, lema, telling him, and he gives. So the question everybody asks is the order here in the verse. It should say God called to Moshe from the mountain, and Moshe olo elokim, Moshe goes up. What's Moshe olo? Moshe goes up. And also the Rebbe Rabbunim asks, what's the meaning of olo elhu elokim, that he goes up to elokim, and then vayikra elav Hashem min hohar. I wonder if you could please press *6. So, he's given instruction. This is what you should say to the Beis Yaakov and tell the Bnei Yisrael. So, the Mechilta says, God is telling Moshe to speak one way to the Beis Yaakov and to speak another way to the Bnei Yisrael. One is the women, one is the men. So what is it? What's the message? You've seen what I've done to Egypt, and I brought you on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to me now. If you listen to my voice, and you guard, you keep my covenant, and you'll be special, v'hiyisem li segula mikol ha'amim, you'll be special to me from all nations, ki li kol ha'aretz, because the world belongs to me, v'atem tiyu li mamleches koyanim, and you will be a kingdom of priests, v'goy kodosh, and a holy nation. Eila hadvorim, these are the words, Hashem to daber el bnei Yisrael, this is what you should say to the Jewish people. So God tells Moshe, first we have the questions, what's the meaning of Moshe goes up to Elohim, And Hashem, Vayikra Elav Hashem in Ahar. Then here in this speech, God is telling Moshe to tell the Yidden, if you listen and if you obey, you'll be special. Why? Because the whole world belongs to me. That doesn't really compute. There's something missing from this sentence here, or else it has another meaning that's not obvious, right? If you obey and if you listen, if you do, you'll be special because the whole world is mine. So the word because there doesn't compute. And you will be a kingdom of priests, mamleches, koyanim, v'goy kodesh. These are the words that you should speak to. So then the Torah tells us, Moshe comes, and he calls to the elders, and he puts in front of them everything that he had been told. Is kol advarim ho'ele asher tzivohu Hashem. All these words that God had commanded him. But God hadn't really commanded him. Moshe goes up to God, and God says, this is what you should say to the women and tell the men. What's the command, right? Moshe comes down and he says all the words, es kol hadvorim ho'ele, that God commanded him, asher tzivo Hashem. And then, what's the reaction of the people? Vayanu kol ha'om yachtov, and everybody replies, they come back together, they say, koila shediba Hashem nasa, everything that God has said we will do. So again, the Torah tells us, Vayoshev Moshe divrei ha'om al Hashem, Moshe comes and brings back these words to God. And God says to him, ah, that was what I was waiting for. I'm going to come to you in this thick cloud so that everybody listens to you, and when they're going to see that I speak to you and they're going to believe in you. And Moshe tells God what the people said. Vayaged Moshe es divrei ho'am el Hashem. So again, it's hard to understand what was. First, the people all shouted, everything that God says will do. Vayoshev Moshe's divrei ha'am el Hashem. Moshe brought word, he took those words to God. God says, all right, that's what I was listening for, this is what I'm going to do. And then it says, Vayaged Moshe's divrei ha'am el Hashem. Moshe told God what the people had said, but we had just been told that Moshe had told God. You know, Rashi, this is interesting. Rashi says, God says to Moshe, Koy Saimala Beis Yankov, this is what you should say to the women, and this is what you should tell the men. Rashi says, Elu Hadvorim, because God has like this little coda at the end. If you listen, you'll be special, me the kingdom of priests. Ela hadvorim asher tadavim. These are the words that you should tell the Yidden. So Rashi says, Ela hadvorim, these are the words, loy pochois, don't tell them less, v'loyoysen, don't tell them more. What does Rashi mean? Is there a hava mina? Would I have thought that Moshe would somehow add something? So, you know, how will you know when you meet Mashiach? What's the secret? So the Medrash says, by David HaMelech, Reb Shimon Posuk, Hakol Kasha L'chol Mikra Echad L'Tzadik L'Rosh L'Tzadik. You know, the Posuk in Kehelis in Ecclesiastes says everything that happens to everybody. To the Tzadik and to the Rosh. To the Tzadik is Noach. Noach is Tzadik. To the Rosh Ze parinechoi. To the good, this is Moshe. To the pure, this is Aaron. And the pasuk there in Ecclesiastes says, you know, it happens to him, it happens to him, it happens to the good one, to the bad one. Everything happens to everybody. It happens to the good one like it happens to the sinner. Ketoiv, the Medrash says, this is David. Because the Torah tells us, the verse says in Samuel, that the Shmuel Anovi, he sends and they bring him this young man, because he had been told to go and anoint one of the sons of Yishai, and they said, there's another son, right? And then they bring David, and he sees that he's all red. David HaMelech was red-haired. Im yifei enayim v'toiv roi. So Shmuel Anovi says, whoa, wait a minute. Red? We're going to have a Mashiach's a redhead? Is he going to be like Esav? And God says to Shmuel Anovi, you know, you got to look at him and you'll see that in David's eyes there's love for all Yidden. The Medrash says, v'toiv roi, and he's good looking. It doesn't mean that he's good looking, but he's looking. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, toiv roi b'halocha, kol haroi ehu nizke l'talmudai. Everybody that looked at David HaMelech could remember his learning. So when you meet Mashiach, how do you know it's Mashiach? You remember your Torah. That's the acid test. If you meet a Groser Chacham who makes you feel like, I didn't know anything, he may be a Groser Chacham, but he's not Mashiach. Right? When you meet Mashiach, just looking at him, and he looks into your eyes, all of a sudden you remember your Torah. You know, we were learning what is your Torah, because when you were in the womb, you were connected to the Chochma Ilo Behiloi Neiroi Alei Roshi. When you were a fetus, you knew the truth, which we here in this world have somehow lost. What is that truth? You know, a baby in the womb doesn't have words, can't conceptualize. I mean, it's clear, you know, a baby comes out and you have to learn everything. So what is it when the Gemara says that melamdin oisis kol haTorah kuloi, that you can teach a baby? What is it that you can teach a baby? What is it before, even, right? When the fetus is just when this spinal cord in the fetus starts to like split or whatever it does to become the proto brain, you know, what is there in that awareness that you could say that's the Torah Kula, that's the seeing from one end of the world to another? There must be something that you could say, this is my Torah. And if you could remember it, everything else about who you are would make sense. Because, you know, we go through our life and you cross the road and you see the traffic lights and a gazillion people and the skyscrapers and the weather, and you're watching all this stuff, and you'd go online and you'd read the newspaper, and somewhere deep inside there's still that awareness that you had in the womb. It didn't go away. It's just buried. And everything that you see in the world now, the colors that you see, the sounds that you hear, the things that make sense to you and the things that don't make sense to you, and the things that impinge on your consciousness and the things that just slide straight off you without you know, all those are tied in an organic way to who you are. And who you are is tied back to the earliest dawn in the consciousness of the fetus. Some things are, it's a chain, right? A causal chain from that first awareness. So how you experience your whole life can be traced back to how your brain began to spark and think. So if you could really remember what it is that you knew when you first knew everything, well, everything there was to know, then everything, your whole life would make sense. Everything that has ever happened to you would be a learning experience. When you meet Mashiach, everything starts to make sense. And your knowing that you knew back before you were born starts to come up from the deepest depths to inform everything that you already know. And so your Torah, your experience of the universe that you've lived through starts to come bubbling to the surface. So when you're in the presence of Mashiach, it's like fireworks, like rockets going off in your head. It's like, yeah, that's what that means. That's what the pshat was here. The Ari says the word Moshe is an atarikon for Mashaho Yehushia. The Pusuk says, Shlem HaMelech says, whatever was, that's what's going to be. Ein kol chodesh tachas hashamesh, there's nothing new. And it's true about Moshe. Who was the first Mashiach, right? Who was our first savior? Mashiach was Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He brought us out of Mitzrayim. He took us through the Midbar. He brought us to Eretz Yisrael. And on the way, he brought down the Torah, and he was our Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu also had this koyach, this genius, right? Why is he called Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he has that koyach to teach. What's the ultimate teaching? The ultimate teaching is to help you remember what it is you already knew. But you see, Moshe didn't think that he was going to be the one who gives the Torah. So Rebbe Rabbunim says, you know, when Moshe encounters God by the burning bush, and God says, Tavdu Neselikim Bahara Zeh, that in the future you're going to bring the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, and then they're going to worship God here. And that refers to Matan Torah. It's going to happen here by the mountain, Har Elikim, Chirevo. God doesn't say to Moshe, you're going to give them the Torah. Moshe never thought that he was going to be the instrument for giving the Torah. The Ishbitzer talks about how after the end of Parsha Shmois, when the tabernacle, when the Mishkan has been erected, Moshe goes back to his tent and he doesn't expect to play any role in what happens to the Jewish people after that. Because God has told him, V'ato hakrev elecho es Aaron achicho. Now the job is, you got to bring Aaron, anoint him and his children, and they're gonna, you know, be the Kohanim and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that his job is over. That from now on, the Hanhogo, the leadership of the Jewish people, is going to pass out of his hands and going to go to his brother. But this wasn't the first time Moshe thought that. Moshe thought that when we came out of Mitzrayim. The Rebbe Rabbunim says, "B'chodesh Hashlishi, letzeis bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim." In the third month, when we came out of Egypt, and we came to Midbar Sinai, and we camped there in the Midbar, "Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ha'har ki ish echad b'lev echad," that we camped there like one. It's because Moshe was no longer special. There was that moment of complete democracy. There was no aristocracy. At that moment, ki ish echad b'lev echad, the Rebbe Rabbunim says, means mamish what it says. We were like one person. And the greatness of Moshe is that while he was always available to God, whatever God wanted from him, he was available. It never occurred to him that he's special. And so he was just like any other Jew, waiting for what's going to happen next. And the Rebbe Rabbunim says, the Gemara says that Mashiach, the neshama of Mashiach, exists in every generation. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, he's sure it doesn't mean that actually Mashiach exists in every generation, and he's born and he goes through his life and he dies without being able to reveal himself. Why would God do that to somebody? That he's Mashiach, that he goes through his whole life knowing he's Mashiach, and he dies. I heard a story the Spinker Rebbe, he was in Skver, and he saw, I think it's Reb Itzchok Skvera, I think his name is Reb Itzchok Skvera, that he didn't used to eat. So the Spinker Rebbe said to him, "Why don't you eat?" And he said, "You know, I don't have an appetite." He said, "Yeah, but why don't you have an appetite?" He said, "Yeah, you know, I don't need to eat." He says, "Well, why don't you need to eat?" He says, "Yeah, you know, I can't really eat." He says, "Why can't you eat?" He says, "Well, you know, just, I don't really have an appetite." So the speaker ever got angry with him. He says, "You gotta tell me once and for all, what's going on?" So he said, "When we were kids, my father, Reb Nochum Chernobyler, took us one day, me, my brother, Triska Magid, and all the Chernobyler kinder, he took us for a ride. He said, today we're going to daven in the forest." And we were on this cart, the Tata, and all of us, and we go into the forest, and there's a little wood chopper's cabin there. And the father says, "Here, I'm going to daven inside." He said, "If anybody comes along, tell him I'm in here, if he asks me." He said, so we're sitting outside on the cart, and along comes Ayil, and he asks, "Where is Nochum Chernobyler?" And we tell him, "Daddy's in the house." He said, "If you call, you have to go inside." So the man goes in. And we hear them talking inside, my father's man. And then my father comes out with his talis and tefillin under his arm, and he gets on the cart, and he tells the cartier to head back to Chernobyl. And this yid, he keeps calling out after my father, saying, "But maybe, yeah." And my father says, "No." And as the cart already going away, the man's shouting, "But maybe, yeah, please say yeah, Evshi yeah, Tommy yeah." And my father turns back and says, "Night, night." And the man's saying, "But maybe, perhaps." And my father says, "No." So on the way back to town, I asked my father, "Who was that?" And he said, "That was Mashiach." "Oh," I said, "what did he want?" He said, he wanted to reveal himself. But I told him it's not time. So the Spinker Rebbe said to Rebbe Itzchok Skvera, "So why can't, what's so bad about that story?" He said, "Because I can't forget that the last time my father said no, I heard him sigh. I heard Mashiach sigh. Oy, he gave a krechetz. And when I think about the implications of Mashiach krechetzing like that, because my father said he can't reveal himself, so vergeit mir der Appetit. All of a sudden I can't eat. My appetite disappears." And you know that story is a, it's a kind of horrible story, right? Because if the tzaddikim have the koyach to tell Mashiach he can't reveal himself, and then you know, then we have to go through the things that we have to go through. Scary thought. I'm with Rebitzkel Skver on this. The Rebbe Rabunim says that doesn't happen in every generation. What does it mean? You know, we all have in us, we were talking last week and the week before, we all have in us a nitzutz, we all have in us a spark of Mashiach, we all have like a specialness. And when we ke'ish echad, b'lev echad, I sometimes think of how mushrooms grow. You know, you get in a forest, you get like a telephone exchange. You know, the whole forest floor is covered in like this electrical wiring, which is what the mushroom spore does. It, like, you know, it's not just in one place that you get a mushroom, right? It's like a whole telephone network. And then for some reason, in one place, out of this network will come, a mushroom will start to push itself up out of the ground, right? But the, it's you don't get such a thing as one mushroom in one place. It's not how it works, right? It's like a, the whole forest floor is like interconnected with this electrical wiring, and one mushroom is connected with another. The same way, you know, all of us, you and me, and all the Eden in the world, we're all connected with this wiring. And out from one of us, at a particular moment, at any given moment, can sprout Mashiach, you know, and you can't predict who it is, or where Mashiach is, or what has to happen for it to manifest, or what the grosser, you know, what the specialness is. And that moment when we stood by Sinai, Vayichan Ho'am Neged Ho'har, that was one of those moments where all the Eden, it was like this flat field. And there was no showing, you know, who's special or who's more special or who's most special, right? And the Rabbein Shel Olam sort of brings the energy from Klal Yisrael and makes it flow into Moshe, and then Moshe is just Olo. Umoshe Olo, Rebbe Rabunim says. It doesn't mean he went up the mountain. Umoshe Olo Elhu Elohim. Moshe rises out of the Jewish people, Elu Elikim, because this birur, this discernment of what the moment calls for and who should be the individual that represents the whole Jewish people, that comes from the middah of Elikim, the judge. So Moshe rises out of the Jewish people. Then Vayikra Elav Hashem in Aha, God calls to him. So, the question is, again, what is it about Moshe here that lifts him so naturally above everybody else? So, the Rebbe Rabinim goes on and he says, the Torah tells us, God says to Moshe, Eile hadvorim, this is what you should say. And Rashi tells us, right, Loi pochois v'loi yoise, don't say more, don't say less. What is the havamina? What was I thinking that Moshe would have changed something that God said? So the Rebbe Rabinim says, you know, Moshe, one of the reasons why he's Rabbeinu, one of the reasons why he's our Rebbe, is because he could make the Torah so sweet. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, he didn't just like ram it into us and say, this is the halacha, Abayas is like this, and Rava argues. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva discuss, that's not how Moshe taught us the Torah. When Moshe taught us the Torah, he made it so sweet. He made it so pleasant. Simo befihem, God says to Moshe, you have to put it into their mouths, right? He made it so sweet that we just wanted it. So Moshe, God says to Moshe, now here, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to make it sweet for them. Don't make it sweet. Tell them like this. So what is it? What's this Torah which is not sweet, right? Im shemoya tishmu b'koili, if you listen to my voice, ushmartem es brisi, and you guard my covenant, v'hiyisem li segula mikol ha'amim, and you be special to me. What is there here that Moshe could have said that was so much more than he said? And what is it here that he could have said less than? What is it that God wants from us? What is the definition of a Kohen? A Kohen is somebody who doesn't have to work because he's a priest. He doesn't go to work. He operates in the temple. He does, you know, the sacrifices, the house of worship. His job is he is set aside. And that, you know, the meaning of priesthood. So God is saying, you know what I want from you? I want you to not be in the world at all. I want you to leave the world. You Jewish people, you have to like get out. You have to remove yourself from the world of human beings, and you have to become the priest of the human race, which means who's going to take care of you? The human race will take care of you. You're the priest, because that's what people do. You have 100,000 people working, and they support a priest who takes care of their spiritual needs. That's what God says. That's what your job is. Mamleches koyanim, a kingdom, a whole nation of priests. You're not in the world, bichlal. And Moshe says, Boinu shalom. You know, they've just come out of Egypt. Yeah, I don't think they're ready for this. Maybe I could sugar it down. And God says to him, No, I don't want loy pochos, no less. I want to make very clear, Herr Moshe, you know, you tell them that I expect them to change the whole life, and not just to change the whole life, but to change the whole definition of what life is. And so Moshe says to God, well, what is it that you're telling them in return for them stepping out of the world and just taking on this priesthood? What is it you're offering in return? What are you saying? What's going to happen? So God says, well, they'll be special. Moshe said, well, can I like, you know, dress that up a bit, you know, maybe add a little bit, make that sound interesting, or, you know, I mean, not everybody there, they've just come out of Mitzrayim, and they've spent their life, their parents have spent their life, everybody, they're slaves, basically, you know, they know how to work, and you're telling them that in return for their stepping out of the world, they'll be special. I mean, can we say what that means, special? And God says, lo yoiser. Loi pochois v'lo yoiser. Moshe, I don't want you to add anything. And I don't want you to take away anything. And don't sugarcoat it. Just give it like it is. So you know what Moshe does? Rebbe Rebunim says, Moshe says, Vayosem lefneim es kol hadvarim ho'ele. Moshe did not only tell them exactly what God had said, loy pochos v'lo yoiser, but Moshe also told them what God had said not to tell them. The Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of Aruf, he had a difference of agreement, a difference of opinion with his father about how you finish the brocha of Alamichya. We finish the brocha, Baruch Ata Hashem Al Oretz V'Alamichya, right? But the Shinova, the Divrei Yecheskel paskind, you finish the brocha, Baruch Ata Hashem Al Oretz V'Alamichya V'Al HaKalkolo. Because he felt that parnosa, the Yidden really need parnosa, right? So he added the words V'Al HaKalkolo. But when the Sanzer Rov heard that the Divrei Yecheskel had paskin like this, he called him in and said, no, I don't want you to say this. So from then onwards, the Shin of a Rov, when he made the Brocha Achroine, he would say, Baruch Ata Hashem Ala Oretz V'Ala Michir V'Ala Kalkola, my father says you shouldn't say. So he would still say the bracha, right? Baruch Ata Hashem Ala Oretz V'Ala Michir V'Ala Kalkola, my father says you shouldn't say, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu does the same thing here, right? He says, Yidolach, God has told me to tell you that he wants from you to, you got to step out of the world and become priests. And in return, you'll be special. And God told me not to tell you what being special means. And also not to, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Asher Tzivohu Hashem, what God had commanded him. It is a very roundabout way. We were learning, when we were learning Sefer Tzira, you know, we were learning about Elisha ben Avu, Acher, and how he says, Shomati me'achoyre apargod, I was going behind the Beis HaMikdash and I heard this voice came out from heaven saying, Shuvu, Shuvu bonim, chutz me'acher. Because they said to him, why don't you do tshuva? He said, I heard this voice that said, repent, repent, my children, everybody except Acher. So the Holy Apter says, you know, he was so stupid. Because this was another one of those, my father says, you shouldn't say, right? Every day, our conscience calls us to do tshuva. But that, the voice of the conscience, is a gift. And you know, a person can do such averos, can cut themselves off so much till the voice of the conscience disappears as well, right? Because that gift of having a conscience can be taken away as well, right? But you know, Acher, he was so loved in Shemayim that the voice of his not conscience, he heard the voice of his conscience say, everybody repent except you, Acher, except I'm not talking to you, Acher, right? That's like, my father says you don't say that. Because even with the not conscience, like, he was being reminded, hey, Ache, you know, your conscience is dead. Because that is also a kind of conscience. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Yidden, so listen, I'm telling you, God says this and this and this. This is what he wants from you. And in return, he's going to give you this. And he told me not to tell you the real meaning of what it is he wants for you and the real meaning of the word, because God commanded me. So what did the Yidden answer? V'yanu kol ha'om yachto v'yoymru. And all the Yidden answered together and they said, now so everything God has said we will do. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, Vayoshev Moshe is Divrei Ho'am El Hashem, doesn't mean Moshe now came back with the words of the people. That doesn't happen till later, where it says, Vayaged Moshe is Divrei Ho'am El Hashem. Vayoshev Moshe is Divrei Ho'am means that it was Moshe rode that response, like a horse, like a jet plane, like a rocket. It's like Vayoshev Moshe. Moshe sat on those words and they lifted him up. Because you know, what's the thing about Moshe Rabbeinu and why he gets chosen? Because Moshe genuinely had Sibcha. What is the chief ingredient that's necessary for Nevuah, for prophecy? It's Simcha. Kechuli Menagin, says Elisha, bring me a musician, you know. He was depressed and the king needed a prophecy. Vayhi kemenagin menagin, and when the musician started making music, v'nochal avruach Hashem, and the spirit comes down on Elisha and he starts to prophesy. Ein ha-nevuah shoyra ele mitoch simcha. You can't have prophecy unless you're in simcha, you know. Moshe Rabbeinu had such joy when the Yidden said everything that God says will do, that he flew straight into a state of prophecy. And that's, the Reb Rabbanim says, Umoisho Olo Elo Aleikim, when it comes to picking out, you know, who's going to be the chosen one, that's the Bechina of Elohim, the judge, right? But Vayikro Elov Hashem, it's Yudke Vovke, the Nevuah. And Vayoshov Moshe es Divrei Ho'am El Hashem. Because Moshe, when God gives him this command to not glorify and magnify the promises, and not to minimize the duties and obligations, and Moshe lays it out straight like that, and the response of the Yidden is, everything that God says will do. Moshe goes into the deepest, highest simcha. You know, it's, we live in a time, in an age, in a world. It's very hard to see somebody be an Malbal Madrega. It's very hard to see somebody achieve the highest spiritual heights without feeling like a little tinge of envy. You know, we live in a world where I want the magic, right? The magic is happening to somebody else. Why is it not happening to me? Moshe, every moment, he was ready to have the mantle of leadership lifted from him. He didn't need it. He didn't want it. It didn't feed his ego. It was a job. God told him to do it. He did it because he was obedient. Bechol beis hineman hu avdi Moshe, right? God says, he's my slave. I trust him. You can trust him. When Moshe delivers a message and he sees everybody just say yes, everything that God says will do, Moshe has such a joy, such a nachas, such a simcha, and that's the reason that Moshe is chosen. Not because Moshe has leadership qualities, but that Moshe has the quality of being able to have joy at somebody else's success. And that's something that's very hard for us to do. To have the purest simcha at somebody else's avoida. If I go into shul and I see somebody davening like fire, immediately already in my heart it's like I'm jealous. Why can't I daven like that? Right? I hear somebody say a Dvar Torah and it's like all the bells go off in my head. It's like clanging and ringing. It's like once the beauty of the Torah is like filtered into my head, and then it's like I'm already thinking to myself, oi, why can't I say a Torah like that? That's not how Moshe Rabbeinu was. And that's not how Mashiach is. the quality of being able to rejoice when another Yid has an achievement, a spiritual achievement, so much so that somebody else's achievement can make simcha in me to the point where I connect with God out of simcha and become a Navi. I become a prophet just on the joy of watching other people succeed. That's the bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu. I bless you and me that we should meet our Moshe Rabbeinu, our Mashiach, and he should help us remember the Torah that we forgot, and each of us should be able to achieve that specialness and that greatness of our own. Shkoyach.